Good afternoon. Thank you. And welcome to Unity Church on this lovely wintry evening. Here at Unity, we are committed to welcoming all people, especially those who have been excluded due to race or gender identity or sexual orientation. Your gifts are welcome here. A special welcome to those of you who are visiting with us for the first time. We hope you find Unity Church to be a place which helps you to find and to keep your balance, a place which helps you to live a loving life of integrity and service and joy. If you are visiting with us, we invite you to sign our visitor's book at the welcome table in the parish hall or out in the cloister by the Portland Avenue doors so that we can stay in touch. If you'd like a tour of the church, it's a great chance to get a sense of the church's history and its rather labyrinthine halls. Laura Park will be available at the back of the sanctuary at the end of the service. That's Laura Park. We also invite you to take one of the classes that we have that are designed for newcomers and for those considering membership, such as our Welcome to Unity class, which is going to be offered on December 5th and January 9th. If you've already taken Welcome to Unity and are seeking a deeper involvement, please feel free to sign up for Finding Yourself at Unity, which will be offered on Saturday the 12th. You can register for both classes at the welcome table. I'd like to call your attention to This Week at Unity, which lists the upcoming activities and is intended to serve as a roadmap and an invitation to deeper involvement in the life of the church. There is no Wellspring Wednesday program this week in deference to the Thanksgiving holiday. Following the service this afternoon, please join us for a soup supper in the parish hall where you can connect with friends, new and old, as well as learn more about Unity Church. In celebration of Partner Church Sunday, the musicians, the Orchestre Bez Imi, will be playing in the sanctuary during coffee hour. It's actually not coffee hour, it's soup hour. They're going to play, three or four numbers? And you can come back in here, we'd love that, but you can't bring food. Okay? Thanks. And there will be a guard at the door, in case you forget. There's an error in the order of service in the hymn of affirmation in the second verse where it says, all herbs and fruits that in thee grow, that richly grow. You see that line? There's a line missing after that, which is, let them thy glory also show. And I'll say it like that, so you will know what to say. Let them thy glory also show. Thanks. Next Sunday, the service is entitled Joy in Integrity, and it will be led by Hallman Ministerial Intern Matt Alspaugh and Worship Associate Neely Crane Smith. Our chalice lighter this evening is Jacob Randall. Following the service, Carrie and Sharon and Jan and I will meet you in the parish hall as you gather for soup. And once again, welcome to Unity Church.
The season of gratitude. In this season, we gather to give thanks for our blessings and our aspirations, to remember other Thanksgivings, and to revisit Thanksgiving myths, and most importantly, to celebrate the gifts of family and friendship. May we cherish those who are with us and others who are separated from us by geography, estrangement, or death. Finally, may this focus on gratitude enable us to live more gracious, joyful lives. Come, let us worship together.
Please remain standing and join with me in the unison covenant at 471 in the back of your hymnal. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve human need, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine, thus do we covenant with each other and with God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Each time we gather for worship, whether here in the sanctuary or upstairs in the chapel with the children, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation. Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love and compassion and witness that is at the center of this sacred community. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, those who live with illnesses, seen and unseen, with addiction, with mental illness, those in prison, those who care for family members in ill health, and those who knowingly and with curiosity and courage face their final days. We mourn the death and celebrate the life of Sylvia Souchere. We hold her son John, his wife Marcia, and their family in our embrace. A service to celebrate her long and fruitful life will be held here Thursday, November 29th at 4 p.m. Our hearts are with the Lane family as they anticipate the death of Eric's mother, Miriam. Mimi is in hospice care and close to death. We pray her children's love for one another will be renewed in light of their mother's dying. We grieve with Mary Anderson, whose dear brother Jimmy died this past week of ALS. Meg Arnasti's father, Hal Maldi, died this past week in Colorado. We hold Meg and her family, Don, Nick, Nathan, and Libby, in our embrace. And Cindy Anderson's father, Burke Ivan Anderson, died this past week at the age of 86. We grieve with Cindy and Michael and their daughter Mara as they say goodbye. Laura Frickman's father has suffered a stroke and is in critical condition. Mary Temple had a fall and broke her arm. We wish her a full recovery. Cynthia Stange is living with a diagnosis of kidney cancer and asks our prayers. And we pray for the continuing recovery of 5-year-old Avery Gallagher. And may we stand in compassionate solidarity with our neighbors all around the world, and particularly today in beleaguered Pakistan, who suffer in the midst of habitual violence. May they and we be instruments of a lasting peace. Now I invite you to speak aloud or hold in the silent sanctuary of your hearts the names of those you've brought here with you in spirit. And let us pray. Holy One, source of radiance and reason, thou whose love endows and animates our lives, be with us now as we would be with one another. In this time of year when we are asked to count our blessings and give praise, let us be grateful not only for our abundant days, but for the times of scarcity as well. Help us to recognize the benefit of spiritual distillation. When we are lonely, may our hearts open in compassion to those who are lonely as well. When we are hungry, make our hearts, we pray, open in compassion to those who hunger more than we. When we feel lost, unsure, when courage fails us and we feel that we can't go on. Open our hearts to all who feel lost, that we might join hands with them and find our way. Teach us then, we pray, to be grateful for the feast which does surround us, even as our hunger awakens and enlarges our love. May this be our promise and our prayer. Amen.
We usually turn our attention at the Thanksgiving service to our role as pilgrims, particularly as we travel to Transylvania and visit our partners in faith. But this year, primarily in response to the last few trips in the Heritage Tour for the junior year crew going to Boston and to Plymouth, Carrie and I felt very strongly that we needed to turn our attention to our ancestors, our religious ancestors, the pilgrims. Because the story of our faith does actually begin with the landing of the pilgrims in Plymouth. Now, our liberal faith, of course, would not be recognizable to them. They would, I think, refuse to believe that we were in any way related religiously. But nonetheless, there are significant things that we share in common, and significant and very important things that where we differ. And I wish that I could begin my story with a Thanksgiving meal so full of bounty, fellowship, and promise. But the real story behind the legend is, of course, much more complicated. And ultimately, I believe, much more instructive for us today. So what do we know about our ancestors, the pilgrims? That they were persecuted for their religious ideas and practices? That they fled that persecution in England and temporarily set up residence in Holland? Half of the congregation actually stayed in Holland, where they resided in a more tolerant and inclusive culture. And the half of the Leiden congregation then came across on a boat called the Mayflower, which was 90 feet, in length. Now, the chancel, we measured it this morning, is 38 feet. It's 50 feet from one wall of the sanctuary to the other. It was 90 feet from tip to tip. Where most of them spent most of their time was down below. And Carrie and I figure, and Henry, I don't know if you remember what you think, but I'd say it was about 50 feet in length down below. So the front of the boat was where all the animals lived 24/7, doing their business, metaphorically speaking. And 102 pilgrims and crew were along with them in the same place with all of their provisions. And because they left in the late fall, they had a lot of storms and encountered a lot of rough seas. So they were down below most of the time. Now, it's not surprising to learn that they started having some disagreements. But let me tell you first that we think of the Mayflower voyage as full of exclusively pilgrims and crew, but actually the pilgrims, or the separatists as they were known, comprised just a little over half of the passenger list of the Mayflower, and the other were people seeking primarily economic fortune in the new land, and they were called by the separatists the strangers. The pilgrims were called the separatists because they wanted to keep themselves separate from any corrupting influence, which they saw basically as anyone who wasn't them. So, in the midst of the voyage, the separatists and the strangers started to disagree. And though they had an agreement when they began their voyage that they would all commit to creating a settlement together once they hit the new land, the strangers began to say, you know what? We're going to set up our own settlement. And we're not in accord with you or an agreement. And the leaders on both sides knew that ultimately their survival depended on their willingness to work together, and that they were much stronger together than they were separate. And so the leaders of both groups, both the strangers and the separatists, got together and created a covenant, which they called the Mayflower Compact. Now this compact combined allegiance to both God and the civic body politic for the common good of all its citizens. And it stated that they would gather when needed to make decisions that affected the good of the community. John Quincy Adams believed that this document was the beginning of democracy on our shores. The pilgrims were willing to craft an agreement and a covenant with the strangers, but they ultimately turned away from those who were not just like them. Mistrust with the native community began almost immediately. Their first act was actually firing guns at them, and they persecuted the Quakers who arrived soon after seeking the same religious freedom that they had so desperately sought themselves. They did, however, craft a covenant between the congregations that were created by the new immigrant pilgrim separatist congregations. And the heart of that covenant says, we covenant to walk together in goodly fellowship. And that is the covenant that has shaped our congregational history since that time. Now there was a harvest meal that occurred between the pilgrims, pilgrim males, I might add, and Wampanoag male elders. But it occurred just before the relationship soured and mistrust and ultimately great violence between the groups defined the great majority of their interactions. So if this is part of what really happened, why do we hold up the traditional Thanksgiving story as our defining national story and feast? Because it is a myth full of such hope and promise. Because we hope and pray that strangers from different lands can sit down next to one another and break bread. Because we understand that at some level, we are absolutely dependent on one another for our very survival. Now, both the pilgrims and the Wampanoag celebrated rituals of thanksgiving. And those rituals were carried through the centuries to our modern day Thanksgiving feast. But the harvest feast was not a Thanksgiving ritual. The two were distinct. And interestingly enough, the pilgrims only celebrated Thanksgiving rituals when God's bounty was visible and obvious. The Wampanoag, on the other hand, celebrated rituals of Thanksgiving regardless of what was visible, because they gave thanksgiving to the maker of all life, the great creator, whose abundance ebbed and flowed, but deserved thanksgiving nonetheless. So these Thanksgiving rituals were a part of each culture's liturgical calendar. Each, in their own way, took time to acknowledge their relationships with that which was greater than themselves and to offer their gratitude for their very lives. It is important to know our history as a people and as a nation. But as we embark on this most significant holiday, what matters is our promise to walk together despite our differences, because it is the covenantal spirit of love that sustains us in our diversity, that inspires us to sit down at Thanksgiving tables with people we love but may not necessarily like. Because it is that spirit of that covenantal love that calls us out from ourselves to be in right relationship with one another in ways that our religious ancestors could not imagine. I am grateful for this covenant that binds us each, to walk with one another toward a better and deeper understanding of the ways of the Spirit, to walk by its wisdom and radiant light, willing to go where the Spirit calls us. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you, Jane. Some of you may be wondering why there is a triune candelabra in the center of the chancel. It is not a resurgent Trinitarianism. It is in fact a gift which we received, which the congregation received from our partner congregation in Homerode, St. Peter, and it is intended to remind us that we are in a three-way relationship among Unity Church, the little village church of Homerode, St. Peter in Transylvania, and a church called the Woudkapel in central Holland in a town called Bilthoven. And in May of next year, pilgrims from here at Unity Church and from Bilthoven will be traveling to Transylvania for a conversation about theology and the future of the liberal church and just to get to know one another. There are a number of people from the congregation who have already decided to go, and if you are interested in learning more about it, there's a table set up in the parish hall. It's a marvelous opportunity. You'll be glad to know the canvas continues to go well. Particularly, it is going well because so many of you have chosen to make your pledges in a timely manner. It could go even better. You know what I mean. Either dig down into that pile on your desk and get it done, or I bet you could probably find a pledge card in the parish hall this evening. It is your generosity on a continuing basis that allows us to give away the vast majority of our offerings that we take up at the services. This evening's offering is going to support the work of our partner church ministry team in the little village of Homerode, St. Peter. We provide scholarship funds for kids who go off to high school. There's no high school anywhere near the village, and they have to move to the city to attend secondary school. We provide all kinds of support to their farming efforts, and all kinds of other projects which they initiate and we help to continue. So would the ushers please come forward?
I'd like to invite any children who'd like to come forward for a special talk about pilgrims. Any youth who would like to come forward? I could use some readers. So come on up and have a seat here on the carpet. Come on up, Francis and Ulysses. Are you guys going to come up? Good, good. Come on up. And as you're coming up, I want you to raise your hand if you know what a pilgrim is. Pilgrims are, right? Pilgrims are people that we talk about at Thanksgiving because they got on a boat and they made a long trip from Europe all the way here to North America. Who was listening to Jan and remembers, what's the name of the boat that they came on? What is it?
The
Mayflower, exactly. That boat's called the Mayflower. And we talk about pilgrims, especially at Thanksgiving, but did you know that you can still be a pilgrim today? Really? You don't have to wear any funny clothes or anything like that. You can be a pilgrim just as you are. There are lots of people right here with us tonight who are pilgrims. And I'll tell you why. It's because that to be a pilgrim just means that you are willing to make a really long trip. Sometimes you walk, sometimes you take a boat, and you usually take a long trip because your heart calls you to. It's a trip that your spirit asks you to make. And lots of people here have been pilgrims. Jan has been a pilgrim, and Rob has been a pilgrim, and Katie has been a pilgrim, and Nolan has been a pilgrim. They've gone places like Rob and Jan. They walked from the mountains to the sea, and that was a trip that their spirit called them to. And Katie and Nolan went with Jan and Joseph and me. We went to Boston to go to the place where our faith came from. And lots of people in our church have also made trips to a really faraway place called Homeroad St. Peter. You have to take a plane across the ocean to get there. It's in Romania. And so you can be a pilgrim now if you're willing to make a trip. Now, some of you might actually be pilgrims this Thanksgiving. Who has to go to somebody else's house for Thanksgiving? Is anybody going to make a trip? Raise your hand out there if you're going to make a trip and you're going to go be at somebody else's house for Thanksgiving. That makes you a pilgrim. A pilgrim really is just like being a guest. So you might be a guest. How many of you aren't going to be a guest in somebody else's house, but instead it's going to flip-flop? You're going to have guests come to your house and you get to be the host. Who's going to be a host and have people come to their house? Oh, lots of people are going to be hosts. Now, you guys might get some reminders from your families about what it means to be a good guest. And the rules that make us a good guest are the same exact rules that make us good pilgrims. So I thought we would talk about some reminders about some things you might want to think about for Thursday and some things you might want to think about as you are a pilgrim in the world. Now, Jan, she's my rule holder, and I might need some help reading in case there are grown-ups way in the back who can't see the writing. So would you help me read? Here's the first rule about being a good guest or a good pilgrim. What does it say? Do bring a gift. Do bring a gift. That's a really good thing to do if you're a guest in someone else's home. If you're a pilgrim, you can show up with a gift, and that shows that you care and that you're grateful. Now, this Thursday, you could stop somewhere and pick up some really nice flowers. Sometimes when we send gifts to our friends in Homeroad St. Peter, sometimes we've done things like send a cow, because that ends up being helpful.
That's what I want for my Thanksgiving gift.
If you go to Jan's house, would you please bring a cow? If you were a pilgrim back in the days of the Mayflower, you could show up and offer pretty much anything made out of steel to the native people, and that was a pretty good gift then, too. So the first thing to think of is bring a gift. Here's the second rule. The second rule is, can you read this with me? Don't complain that things are different. That's right. Don't complain if things are different. Because sometimes going somewhere, the point is to see and do things that are different. So if last year you got to be at one grandma and grandpa's house and they let you take your plate of turkey and sit in front of the television and watch the Macy's Day Parade, that might not happen this year. You might go to a different grandma and grandpa's house and maybe they might say, oh no, at our house at Thanksgiving, everybody sits at the table. That might be kind of nice to sit with your whole family at the table. Sometimes people might make foods different ways. Like at my house, I love to have really lumpy mashed potatoes.
Oh, I hate lumpy potatoes. And my sister-in-law always makes lumpy potatoes.
Oh, Jan, you need to think about being a good pilgrim. So this year, would you do me a favor? Would you not complain about the lumpy potatoes and just see how that feels? She'll give it a try, right? So we don't complain if things are different. And you know what? When the pilgrims came on the Mayflower, when they met the native people who already lived here, they complained about the way they built their houses, and they complained about the way they prayed to God. And we've learned when we're good pilgrims, like the friends who go to Homeroad St. Peter, we don't try to focus on things that are different as bad things, but as good things. So we can learn ways to be a good pilgrim and ways to be a bad pilgrim. What else? What does it say? Do be helpful. Do be helpful. When you go on Thursday to somewhere for Thanksgiving, what's something you could do to be helpful? Jake, what could you do? You could bring out the plates. You could set the silverware, right? If you're a big kid, you could help with the little kids. How many of you think of yourselves as a big kid? And you could maybe help with the little kids, maybe just play a game with them, right? Very good. Or you could clear the table and take that away. Now, when our friends go to Homer and St. Peter, sometimes they try to think of ways to be helpful. They say, hey, is there anything that you need to do farming in your village just the way you want? Or is there anybody in your town who needs help paying for school? Because we'd like to help. So part of being a good pilgrim is being helpful. What's another rule? Okay, let's read this one. Do not kidnap your hosts and try to sell them as slaves in Spain. Now, you probably weren't thinking of doing that anyways, were you? No. And I don't think that any of your family and friends are going to think of trying to kidnap anybody and sell them as slaves in Spain. And maybe sometimes people wouldn't want our families even if we were selling them. But so this seems silly as a rule, but you know what? The first pilgrims, the people who came even before the Mayflower, they blew it. They made this mistake. When they met people here, instead of making friends out of them, they kidnapped them and took them far away from their home, and they sold them as slaves. And there are people who are still so sad about that story today that Thanksgiving doesn't feel good, it feels sad, because they remember that mistake that those pilgrims made. What's another way to be a good pilgrim? Aha! What does that say? Do try everything once. Absolutely. Yep. Try everything once this Thanksgiving. I want you to give it a try. Because even if you don't think you might like it based on how it looks, if you taste it, you might actually like it. Even if you just take something that we call a no thank you bite. Just try one bite. And if you had been a pilgrim back on the Mayflower, something you might have had to try just once. Well, because they probably didn't have pumpkin pie. We're pretty sure about that. And they probably didn't have the popcorn. And they might not even have turkey. But how do you feel about boiled eel? Would you like to try some boiled eel?
Ooh.
You should try it once. If you go on pilgrimage to Home Road St. Peter, you might get to try some Hungarian food like paprikash. And this Thanksgiving, if you haven't already tried it, I'd like to encourage you to try squash. It's tasty and it's got lots of vitamins in it. So do try everything once. That's a good way to be a pilgrim. What else is a rule, Jan? Just a quick reminder, please. What does that say? Don't chew with your mouth open. This applies to eel and paprikash and squash and everything else. It's just a nice way to be a guest. And what's another rule? Oh, I love this rule. What does that say? To be a good guest and a good pilgrim, you should talk with the people who are there with you. You should have friendly conversations with them. When our friends go to Home Road St. Peter, they have lots of conversations, and oh, they come back with such interesting stories. Now, the pilgrims on the Mayflower, this was another mistake they made. They didn't have a lot of conversations about what it was like to be one of the native Wampanoag who already lived there. They said, oh, they're so different from us, I don't even want to talk to them. And this Thursday, when you go to Thanksgiving, maybe you could try to have some friendly conversations. Even if there's a cousin who just drives you crazy, maybe you could try to talk to that cousin. Or maybe if there's an aunt or an uncle that you don't really know because you haven't seen them very much, try to have a friendly conversation anyways. And some of us might want to leave our iPods at home so that we can have an opportunity to have friendly conversations. So we'll have friendly conversations, and then this rule right here, what's this say? Don't share your germs. Thank you. When we get together with our friends and our family, we love to share everything, but don't share your germs. So what do you have to do to your hands a lot? You have to wash your hands. And show me how you should cough. Cough like this into your sleeve, right? And if you're very, very sick, you know, like if you've had a fever or you've been throwing up, you might not even want to come at all. You might want to stay home so that nobody gets really sick. And here's another mistake that our pilgrims made when they came on the Mayflower. They were really, really, really sick. Some of them had a disease called smallpox. And if you have smallpox, we'd rather you didn't come to North America at all, because when that happens, whole villages of native people get sick and die. And so a good pilgrim and a good guest doesn't share their germs. So we're going to wash our hands, cover our coughs. What else are we going to do, Jan? What does that say? Don't take more than your share. Who out there loves pumpkin pie? Right, I love pumpkin pie too. And even if you go to the table and you see that there is this much pumpkin pie left, that's not all for you. You should just take one slice. Don't take more than your share, because if you take just one slice, then there's pumpkin pie for everybody to taste. And if you're coming to North America as a colonist, you might actually want to contemplate the idea that North America isn't yours at all to share. But it might be a little too late for us to learn that lesson. And here's another last really important rule about being a good guest and a good pilgrim. What does it say? Do be thankful. Do you have something to be thankful for? I sure do. We have lots to be thankful for. We have friends and family and good food and good times to be thankful for. And you guys, we can be thankful for you because you're part of the people who are learning lessons from our past. We're learning from what happened with the pilgrims in the past. And that's something to be thankful for. And we can be thankful every single day for the feast that is our lives. So I hope that you have a very good Thanksgiving, and that whether you are a guest or a host, you are a good pilgrim. Thank you for listening. Let's go back and do a reading together in your hymnals. Will you go back to your families and get out your hymnals? If you would please turn in the back of your hymnal to reading number 515. And read together with me, gratefully and responsively. For the sun and the dawn which we did not create, for food which we plant but cannot grow,
for friends and loved ones we have not earned and cannot buy,
for this gathered company which welcomes us as we are, from wherever we have come. For all things which come to us as gifts of being from sources beyond ourselves.
Gifts of life and love and friendship, we lift up our hearts in thanks this day.
Thank you.
everyone, even you, Nolan, comes from many families. And kids that have been adopted actually come from twice as many families as kids who are just born into the family. When we gather around the table at Thanksgiving, we're surrounded not only by our friends and by our relatives, but also, in a very special way, by our ancestors. Our church is a family of families. When we gather to sing and pray and give thanks for all the blessings of our lives, we're surrounded not only by this present living congregation, but by so great a cloud of witnesses. We're never alone here. Our spiritual ancestors are always here with us. We come from two families of faith. On one side, we're descended from the Pilgrims. As Jan told us earlier in the service, the Pilgrims were very, very serious about their religion. They followed a verse of the Bible which was taken from a letter written by a man named Paul to a little church just getting organized in a Greek city called Corinth. Paul thought people should only spend time with other people who believed exactly the same thing they did. He quoted the Jewish prophets, saying, "Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them and touch nothing unclean." So the Pilgrims left England because England was full of unclean people who disagreed with them, and because they had been badly oppressed there. And they went to Holland, which was actually a very diverse and very tolerant culture, but there were a bunch of strangers there, and they wanted to be separate. And so they left Holland, and they sailed to North America as separatists. Almost 200 years later, some of the spiritual descendants of that Pilgrim family decided that being separate was not necessarily the best way of fulfilling the great commandment that we love our neighbors as ourselves. They were curious about all the neighbors they had never known, and they found lots of ways to meet and then to love their neighbors. They worked hard to make life better, not just for people who believed what they believed, but for everybody. They're here with us today. At almost the same time that the Pilgrims sailed out of Plymouth, which is on the southeast coast of England, our other ancestors were establishing their churches in a place called Transylvania. They called themselves not separatists, but Unitarians, people of one God. The place they lived at the time they lived there, had more different kinds of people than almost anywhere else in that part of the world. It was in Transylvania that the Christian West first met the Muslim East, and for 150 years they lived together there in prosperity and peace, and that's where Unitarianism was founded. Our ancestors, who lived at that time, realized, in the words of their first great leader, Francis David, that you need not think alike to love alike. They thought it was a good idea for people who believed different things about God and about the world to talk with and learn to respect each other. They thought God wanted it that way. They also took the Bible as their guide, but they took a different verse of the Bible as their guiding verse. Their verse was written by a man named Matthew, who was trying to write down what he thought Jesus said. He wrote, "Jesus said, 'Look, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. Be ye therefore gentle, wise as serpents, and gentle as doves.'" Both the Pilgrims and the early Unitarians were people who loved to read. They lived in the century when, for the first time, a lot of people were learning how to read, and books became available to a lot of different people. The book they read most was the Bible. The pilgrims thought the Bible taught that they should turn away from the world. The early Transylvanian Unitarians thought the Bible taught them to turn toward the world, always trying to be wise and gentle. Just as we inherit the gifts and traits of our ancestors, things like a strong heart or brown eyes or red hair, our church has inherited both the gifts and the challenges of our spiritual ancestors. We share their love of reading. We still read the Bible, even though we also read a million other books and poems to help us learn to live our lives. From the pilgrims, we've learned that sometimes we need to turn away. We need to be with others who believe as we do in order to deepen our faith. And we need time for being by ourselves and for sitting alone in the stillness. From our Transylvanian ancestors, we've learned how important it is to turn toward the world. While the pilgrims believe that we're born in sin and that this life is just a sad temptation on the way to heaven for a few of us and for hell for most of everybody else, the Unitarians believe that God loves us all from the very beginning and that we're here to learn to love more perfectly. We're here to learn to love and to bless the world. We've always known we came from pilgrim stock. But just as families lose touch with this or that part of their heritage, until recently we didn't really know our Unitarian Transylvanian relatives. Now that many of us have made the pilgrimage to Transylvania, to that wonderful little village of Homeroad St. Peter, now that we've welcomed a few guests here from that faraway village, here to our shores, we're beginning to recognize the strength and beauty we've inherited from them. They helped us learn to love and to care for the land. Those of us who've been pilgrims to the Unitarian homelands have been deeply moved by our cousins' wise and gentle village ways. And they've taught us to take courage. The pilgrims have taught us to take courage, to leave our safe harbors and risk the open sea in search of liberty. Our freedom owes allegiance to the better lessons that the pilgrims taught. So this year, when we gather our families around the table, whether bound by blood or chosen out of love, let us pause to give thanks not only for the ones we see there, but also and especially for the ones gone on before. When we sing our Thanksgiving songs, they sing along in harmony. When we say our Thanksgiving prayers, they murmur their assent. When we give thanks for all the blessings of our lives, they cheer us on and bless us still. May it be so, and amen.
Thank you.
Let us remember our ancestors at this Thanksgiving time and remember their inability to have moments of Thanksgiving when abundance was not apparent and visible. But let us seek a deeper truth that knows that always there are things worthy of our gratitude and our thanksgiving, those things not visible, those of the spirit and of life itself, ever abundant. Amen.